shall make you free. It is the truth that will set you free from the bondage of habits that you couldn't break on your own. It's the truth that can set you free from that cycle of sin that you just continue to find yourself in. It's the truth of Jesus Christ that can set you free from all the hurt and the pain from the past that you keep carrying around. It's truth that can set you free. Man, if you could make your way back to your seats here today. I believe God has a word for us on this Labor Day weekend about truth. See, truth is like an anchor. It's like an anchor when you're at sea. It keeps you from going adrift. It keeps you from drifting away too far when the currents and the waves of the storm, when they come in. You need to drop an anchor that's going to keep you stable. It's going to keep you holding on to one thing that is above all. It can hold you on to that one point, that anchor point. See, in our culture, there's a lot of winds. The Bible, it calls them winds of doctrine. Our culture of contemporary cultural thinking, there's a lot of things that try to affect us, and they do affect us and in our thoughts and in our lifestyle and our patterns of what we do. Believe it or not, the temperature on the outside of the church, it does affect the temperature on the inside of the church. And the temperature on the outside affects the temperature in your body. It affects you. And we are being bombarded by all kinds of winds and currents of thinking, and that is why we need to drop an anchor and determine what is truth. And I want to talk to you on that topic today, on truth and specifically the evidence of truth. What is the evidence of truth? Amen. Could we just, before we get into this, just lift up our hands and let's just ask God. Lord, I'm thankful, God, for what we've experienced here. God, this is more than just a movement. God, this is more than just a gathering. But Lord, I've come, Lord, to have your word imparted in my life. God, I've come, God, so that you can change me. God, if my thoughts are out of whack, God, if my actions are out of place, Lord, then let me be aligned with you today. God, I pray that you would soften our hearts. God, that we can hear your word. God, I pray that you would let us, Lord, allow, God, the truth to come in, God, and to speak to us. God, the truth, God, your spirit, God, let it speak to us here today. God, I speak against anything that would come against the word of God today, Lord, as it is being delivered. Lord, anything, God, any distractions, God, let them be cast aside right now in this moment so that we can receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. See, when Jesus, when he went before the Roman governor Pilate before his crucifixion, he was asked this question by Pilate, what is truth? See, Jesus, he came and that question, the reason that it was asked was because of something that Jesus had said to Pilate. Pilate was presented with this man by the rulers of the Jews. He was presented with him as someone who was causing all of these problems. And in fact, he was being called the King of the Jews. And so Pilate, he asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus, are you this King that they are saying you are? And Jesus, he ignored that question. But he did say, for this cause came I into the world, which is to bear witness of the truth. I am come so that people can understand what real truth is. I am come to be the living embodiment of truth. I am come so that when you see me, you understand that there's something more than just an individual who has lived for 30 years on this earth. And he understands things in that capacity of what he has learned in his time here. But he understands things beyond what a human would understand, because he has truth that is from the end of the age to the beginning of the age. It's something that is everlasting. This man can speak truth. And Jesus said, I have come to bear witness of the truth. So Pilate, he asked that question, well, what is truth? Jesus said, well, I have come so that those who hear the truth would obey it. And then he said, obey my voice. He was kind of implying to Pilate, are you hearing my voice? Are you hearing what I have to say to you? Because I have something very important. Are you of the truth or are you not? Are you really interested in knowing the truth or do you just want to pretend that you want to know the truth? Are you interested in knowing what real truth is? See, Pilate, you are supposed to be a governor. You're the one who the courts look up to. You're the one who is supposed to be able to determine when an important decision is to be made. You hear the accusations and the pleas from both sides of the argument. And you are the one who it's up to you to tell us who is speaking truth. Pilate, you're the one. You're the judge. You ought to know truth. And yet here you are, you ask, what is truth? What is truth? That's a question that every one of us needs to ask today and answer that for ourselves. What is truth? See, I don't know if Pilate was trying to dodge these penetrating words of Jesus or if it really was a serious question. Perhaps maybe it was just a cynical question that he was asking that day. But he did ask it, what is truth? And Pilate would go on to say, eventually, that I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in Jesus Christ, but on that day he was seeking to know something, and that is, what is truth? See, by definition, truth is something that is factual. It's reality. It's something that's grounded in something that will come to pass. It's something that cannot be denied. In the Old Testament, the word for truth, it means a reality that is firm. Or it is certain. The legal definition of truth is authentic facts that can be verified. Something that you can look back on and you can verify whether or not it holds truth to it or it holds itself in what it said. And here is that question that remains in the minds of so many of us today. What is truth? Can I define truth? See, personal stories, whether secondhand or first, they have long been the subject of varying tales. And maybe, perhaps you are a fisherman or you have been a fisherman at times. And you have that story about the fish that got away. No one else saw it but you. And perhaps you have chosen at times, or maybe it's not you, but somebody else has chosen at times, to tell the story of that fish that got away. And the truth of the matter is, the fish, you don't really know, but it starts out about this size and then eventually it gets this big and then it was the monster. It was the one that it swallowed all of the other fish in the lake. And this is probably the one that swallowed up Jonah. It's still living today. Now this fish, it just grows larger and larger because what you're telling, it can't be verified. But the story that you're saying, nobody else can go back. This is the one that got away. This is the one nobody else can look back. There was no picture of it. There was no video of it. All there is to go on is what you have to say. So is that really truth? Is it? No, there's some truth to it. But there's probably not a fullness of truth to that story that you tell. You see, things that cannot be verified, they're susceptible to truth leakage. Things that can't be verified, it has a little bit of truth that begins to leak out of it. But in the reality that we live in now, it's becoming harder and harder for us to verify the authenticity of things. This isn't meant to be a political statement, but certainly at some point in the past couple of years, you've heard that term fake news. See, social media, it's the worst place. It's like the breeding ground for fake news. And there are men and there are women who they have made a living off of creating just a basic website to which they publish news articles that they're just creating out of thin air, but yet they can post them on social media, and somehow if it can create the right concoction of shock and intrigue, then that article can be shared millions or thousands of times, and you know, millions of people that are looking at this, and all of a sudden something that some person just created out of thin air becomes fake news. There's no truth in some of these articles that get passed around, but if they look enough like something that is true, then it can grab our attention, or it can point us into a way that we believe something that has no reality to it. There is no truth in it. No matter how outrageous these claims can be, they can grab a hold of the attention of somebody and they will believe them to be true. See, one thing that it concerns me when I look into the future is this development of technology. And we're long past the time when images of real people are showing up on billboards or on magazine covers. You don't really see real people for the most part today when you're looking at these images. They're all photoshopped images of people who have had their every curve, you know, make sure that you make it look right and make sure their face looks, you know, a certain way so it's appealing to everyone who looks at it. And you have all these fake images that are created that are there, and that's what we see today. But now it's not just in print. It's not just in print today or pictures that are there that can be modified, that can be created. Now, has anybody ever heard of this new technology, something called deep fakes? Anybody ever heard of that? Okay. I'll enlighten you just a little bit of what a deep fake is, because this is something that is around, and it's videos. I should have found a clip of one to show you, because it's amazing the authenticity of how real something can look. And what they do is they can get videos of somebody who is speaking. You have all these videos that are out there on YouTube that they're there, and they can take one of those videos and they can put words in the mouth of that person. And they can make it so that their mouth is moving to say exactly what it is that they're saying. And even though it's a voice actor that was behind them that was saying whatever it is, whatever crazy thing it is that they want them to say, they have all the recordings of this individual's voice that they can make it sound exactly like it was that person saying it. What they do is they take all of this large cache of pictures that are out there. You just do a Google search for these famous people or politicians, somebody. You can imagine they get a hold of a politician who is, and you can make them say anything. That video could run pretty far before somebody even realizes that there's no truth to this. It's a deep fake. It's something that deep fake, it comes from this deep learning, this ability of what computers can do today. But it's fake. It's something that has no truth to it. It looks completely authentic, but it is a digitally created video of somebody saying something that has no truth to it. See, truth, it's becoming harder and harder to distinguish in our society today. Truth, some would say that we are currently living in a post-truth era. In fact, in just a couple of years ago, I think it was 2014 or 2016, that the Oxford Dictionary, they named post-truth their word of the year. So they said, we're living in a post-truth era. Now, what's a post-truth era? That is a term that is defining, or it's relating to or denoting the circumstances in which an objective fact is less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. That objective facts, things that can be verified, that's not what is swaying somebody or is causing somebody to believe what is the reality. But instead, it is what do I feel is right, or what is my personal belief and my emotion. That tells me, this is post-truth, that tells me more than what the reality of the situation is, something that can be verified. That is post-truth. See, when facts become less influential than appeals to our emotion, we've got a problem. When facts are more important or less important than something that can just appeal to our personal beliefs, then we have a problem on our hands. Because there is no real truth to our feelings in our emotions. Our feelings and our emotions, I talked about this last week, that they can lie to us. You can feel something and you can have something inside you that is causing you to feel a certain way, but it has no truth in it at all. So we gotta be careful about leaning on our emotions, and we gotta be careful. It was Paul who said, it's not me. I can't lean upon my own thinking or my own judgment of things, but instead I need to lean upon the Word of God. Says, I don't trust my own feelings in the matter, but I do trust the Word of God, because this has truth to it. It can be backed up. See, it's particularly true that these things are under attack, or that truth is under attack in matters of morality and religion. Because those two areas are two that it's kind of hard to define what is moral. Perhaps to the world, it's hard to define. Well, what is moral? Who gets to decide what is moral? Who gets to decide who it is that somebody would serve, that somebody would pray to? Who gets to decide who is the right one? Who is to say that someone who prays to Allah or someone who prays to Buddha or to no God at all? Who's to say that that person is wrong and me, who worships God, that I'm right? Who is it to say that? Why should anyone on the outside be able to tell them that they are misguided in their efforts? Why should somebody on the outside be able to tell them that they have it wrong and that I have it right? See, put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if you had been raised to believe that Allah is God or that Buddha is the answer, and then somebody is telling you that you're wrong? Feels a little odd, doesn't it? If somebody outside of me could tell me that they have truth and I do not. See, these are questions that your world is asking. These are questions perhaps that you've asked yourself. But why do you get to claim that what you believe in the matter of morality is correct, and who you are, who you claim to have the answer for hope in the afterlife? You know, everything, that's really the question of humankind. What's our purpose here on earth? And what do we need to do in order to have something else after this? That's kind of the big question of humankind. And so, who is it to say that there is only one answer, that there is only one truth? See, can it not be true that I believe what I believe and you believe what you believe, someone else believes what they believe, and then we all believe it, and it's all going to be good because we're all going to find our way to an eternal life in heaven? See, that right there is the problem. Unless you were the one who set the whole world in motion, unless you were the one who has already lived in the future, unless you were the one who has created all things, what do you have to stand on in saying that what you believe is true? What do you have to stand on to say that what I think about this is the truth? What I have to say about the matters of morality is true? Because it's not, you don't have anything to stand on when there's somebody else or there is something else that he has created the whole world. He has created the whole, he has set the whole world in motion. See, when Pilate, when he asked Jesus that question, what is truth? I believe that he was seeking an answer from a man who he recognized as one who had authority. Somebody who had authority. Somebody who he didn't know this yet, but he was about to transcend everything that humankind is able to do. He was about to raise from the dead. He recognized Jesus as one who had authority when he spoke. And he had heard the stories about this man who was able to pray for the sick and they were healed. He was able to lay his hands on the blind and their eyes, their sight was restored. He was able to do things that no person could do. And so here's a man who has authority and he says, "What is truth? You seem to have something that I don't have. You seem to have something that goes beyond what this human ability has to it. So what is truth? You must know something that I don't know." See, Pilate, he knew the limitations of man all too well. He had sat in his judgment seat long enough to know that he could hear stories from this side and he could hear stories from this side. And here he is trying to come up with a solution of who is it that's telling me the truth? I think I know. But yet I go home at night and I'm still wondering, did I choose the right one? He knew the limitations of man. He knew that what he thought was truth and what he could determine was truth still had limitations because he couldn't truly define her. He couldn't really truly go back and say, I know for a fact that this is what I said it is. See, the accusers of Jesus, they had said that Jesus had violated the law of Moses by declaring that he was God. That he had spoken blasphemy by saying that the temple could be torn down and in 3 days he would raise it back up. That Jesus had stirred up quite a frenzy among the people who saw the miracles that he was able to perform. And for all of this, Jesus was worthy of death by crucifixion. And through it all, through all these accusations, Jesus stood there silently. Jesus stood there and he didn't speak back against any of these accusations. Pilate, he wanted to know, are they telling the truth about you? What have you to say? Are you the king of the Jews? Do you defy Caesar? Do you come and call yourself a king? To which Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But I have come to this world to reveal a matter. I have come to bear witness of the truth. I have come to be the embodiment of something that is not just for this time and this age right now, but for something that everybody can look back upon and say, this man had the answer. This man embodied what real truth is. This man right here affected not just his generation, but he affected every generation. This man right here, what he's saying is truth. See, you may hold on to your own beliefs and you can stack them up against somebody else's beliefs and measure who it is that may be more right. But the reality is there can only be one truth. There can't be a bunch of truths. If I claim that there is only one way to get to heaven and then somebody else claims, well, there's another way to get to heaven, which one's right? There can really only be one truth. If the Bible, it really doesn't matter if I claim that, but if the Bible says there's only one way to get to heaven, and then somebody else claims there's another way to get to heaven, then there really can only be one truth. Now, if the Bible opened it up, and it said, this is one way, you can do it. Well, then we have another matter on our hands, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there is one way to get to heaven. It says one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. There is one way that we can get to the Father, and that is by Christ Jesus. There's only one way that we can enter in, and that is through the straight and the narrow gate. There's only one way. There is one Lord. There is one door, just like there was on the ark that Noah entered in on that day. There's one door. See, Jesus, he was standing on something that was not just measuring up himself to somebody else, but he was standing on something that he had solid ground. It had something that it could hold to its, hold firm. It was an anchor of truth that it held all the way back to the beginning of time. And it could hold all of that and say that I understand that and I understand what's going to go on in the future. Because when you look at me, you're looking at truth. You're looking at someone who has lived it because I set it all in motion. See, Jesus, he told his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. He's talking about the future, that big question that everybody has. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to get to heaven? What do I need to do to have life beyond this life? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, then I would have told you. This is in John chapter 14. It says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, then I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come again, and I will receive unto myself that where I am, that you may be with me also. And it was at that point that Thomas, one of his disciples, spoke up. He says, Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. You said that you're going to go and prepare a place for me, and that I need to follow you to that place. But how do I get there? What is the way to get to where you're going? And Jesus said to him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you are searching for the way to paradise, I am the way. If you're searching for the answer, I am the truth. If you are searching for eternal life, I am the life. I am the one. You just follow me and you will see that there is something that is beyond just what you're hearing from everybody else. But I have the answers. I have the word of life. I have the word of truth. I have something that I can stand on that is not going to just pass away. And it's not going. There's nothing that I say that you could come against and say that it didn't come to pass. Because when I speak, it will come to pass, because I am truth. I am truth. See, Jesus was trying to tell them, you stick close to me and your eyes, they're going to be opened up to real truth. You are never going to have to doubt again whether or not what you believe is truth. You're never going to have to doubt again. As long as you listen to my words, you're never going to have to doubt again if this is real truth. He said to Thomas, you may not believe it yet, Thomas, but I am the truth. The evidence is going to make it, it's going to be abundantly clear when I go into a grave and I'll raise back up in 3 days. He prophesied it of himself. He began to have these conversations with his disciples that they're going to destroy me, that they're going to put me down, and in 3 days I will raise back up. And you're going to see that everything that I've said, that I am the living image of the God that your ancestors served, that I am the one who they pointed to look at as the Savior and as your Redeemer, that I am the one who all of creation, they've been looking for me. The one who has come to live and to die for you. He said, I am the creator of the heavens and earth. I am the one who spoke life into existence. I am the reason that there is, the reason that there is authority when I speak is because I am the one who gave the ability for man to speak. There's authority in my words because I am the Father. It says, when it was Peter who said, you keep talking about the Father, who are you talking about? And he says, look at me, put your eyes upon me. If you're looking for the Father, I am the image, the visible image of the Father. If you're looking for the one who I keep talking about, it is me. It is me. It is me. I am the one who has the authority of God Almighty, because I am Him come down to dwell on earth. I am the embodiment of the creator of this whole world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the whole case of truth, it's really tied up in that matter. By whose authority can you speak of what is going to come to pass? And if that authority is someone who has already seen all of the past, who has already resided in the future, then that authority stands on some pretty solid ground. See, when he came up out of the grave, he was proving that he was who he said he was. He was proving that he was the way, that he was the truth, and that he was the life. See, but Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed himself to the rest of the disciples. And so when Thomas finally came and Jesus stood before him, he says, Jesus, I see you. You look like the man, but I need some proof right now. I need a little bit more proof. And so Jesus, what did he do? He stuck out his hands and he said, Thomas, put your fingers right in the nail prints of my hands. He lifted up and he said, I have my sword-pierced side right here. You can stick your hand right in there. I am the one. I am the one who I was saying this all along, that every word that I said stands on good truth, because I am the eternal one. And when I came up out of that grave, I am the evidence of the truth that you've been seeking for. I am the evidence of the one who you've been wondering all this time, can I truly believe all that he's saying to me? Can I truly believe that I can be set free from my past life? Can I truly believe everything that he has done for me? And he says, look right here. I am the evidence. I am the evidence of the one who you've been seeking for the thing that you've been seeking for. I am the evidence. Look at me, Thomas. Look at me. It wasn't just Thomas that he showed it to, but you can read in Acts chapter 1. It says that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, or after he had died and risen back up, by many infallible proofs, being seen to them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It wasn't just Thomas that he showed himself to as the evidence of truth, but he says by many infallible proofs, he was showing himself over and over and over to people. Everything that you heard me say before stands true today. Look at me. I have done something that no human can do. I've done something that no person, they don't have the ability within themselves to go and to die and then come up out of that grave by their own power. But here I am. I am the truth. So I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that it was by his authority that all this was able to come to pass, and that we can hear the stories of the apostles back then who got to experience those proofs of Jesus Christ coming up out of the grave. Come on, I'm thankful that I have those stories that are passed on to me. Come on, are you thankful for that today? Are you thankful for the word of God today? Yeah, come on, that's all right. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I have the truth and the evidence of truth that was passed down to me from generations of people back then who understood that they saw something that no man had ever done. They saw it with their own eyes, and they passed it down to us, that evidence of truth that proved that Jesus was who he said he was. Thankful for that. But here's what I'm even more thankful for. It's not just by the stories of Peter, or by the stories of Thomas, or by the stories of the other apostles who they saw Jesus after he had resurrected from the dead, and they saw the evidence of the truth. But Jesus said, let me send something that's not just going to be for this generation that's alive on earth right now. Let me send an evidence of the truth of who I am to every generation from now to the end of time. Let me send an evidence of truth that can go beyond these people right now. And yes, I can prove that I am who I say I am through these people right here. And they will pass these stories down. But I want to prove myself in a personal way to you right here in 2019. He told his disciples, he said, go to Jerusalem. And when you're in Jerusalem, he says that John truly baptized with water, but you are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And in just a couple days from now, he says, you are going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, that you will receive an evidence of the truth, that you can tell everybody that there is something that come alive in me. There is something that is living in me, and I know that I serve the one who has all truth. I know it because he's living in me. The evidence of truth is inside of me today. He says, you shall be witnesses to me. You shall be witnesses of the truth of who I am. If you are Holy Ghost filled here today, there ought to be some kind of a certainty of your salvation. There is a certainty of your salvation that comes when you experience the Holy One who would come inside of you and who would dwell in you. Come on. There's a certainty of my salvation. I'm thankful that I don't have to wonder. Come on, I'm thankful that I don't have to wonder. God, when I called out to you and said, Lord, would you accept me? God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And then I wonder, at, you know, in the past, you know, as time goes on, God, was it real? Do I really have something? Come on, I don't have to wonder because I know I have an evidence of the truth of what He said that's living inside of me. And yes, it's going to change me. It will affect every part of me. The Holy Ghost will be the evidence of the truth that He gave to us, that everything that He said is true. And when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is real. You're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that what Jesus said is true. You're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that there is something that is more than just the words of a man, but it's the words of an eternal God. It's the Spirit and the power and the infallible proof of an eternal God that came in me, and He can jumpstart something in my life that is going to go on to eternity. It's going to go on for the rest of my life because He is life. He is life. Amen. See, truth in our world today, it may be on trial, but that's only because they haven't experienced the truth. Truth may be on trial today, but that's because they haven't experienced the truth. There is an evidence of truth that it doesn't have to put truth on trial anymore. Because when the truth consumes you, you know that you have found that anchor that you can hold on to. That thing, this measuring stick of morality. This thing that you can stack everything up against it. And the Word of God, the Spirit in you will lead you to the truth. It will lead you to something that is everlasting, that's unfailing. If you're here today and maybe you're wavering in your belief, you're wavering in your stance, then I just want to encourage you today to stir up that spirit. Stir it up. Get something stirred up in you and say, God, I need to know again. God, what is it that you have called me to? God, what is it that I can stand on? God, I need to stir something up in me. If you've never experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life, then I want to encourage you to seek God for it today, because you will never have to doubt again. You will never have to doubt again. Is this real? When you have an encounter with God, you're not going to leave searching for something else to fill that void. You're not going to leave searching for something else. You're never going to walk out of a prayer room where you've encountered the real presence of God with questions of His existence. You're never going to walk out of there if you've experienced His presence and say, God, are you real? No, because, yeah, now there may be dry times. There may be dry times in your walk with God when it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the walls. But you still know, God, you're there. God, I'm going to be faithful to you. God, I'm going to trust you. God, I will be there with you. I'm never going to waver because I've got something in me that is driving me, that it's undeniable that you are calling me to you. Come on, there's an evidence of truth that we have for us today. If you're here today and you're wondering if you've ever been filled with the Spirit, then I want to encourage you to seek Him again today. Maybe you've lived your life seeking God. Maybe you for a long time have been from church to church and you've sought God and you said, God, I've given my life to you. But here you are today wondering, God, I've never had an experience like they experienced back then. God, I've never had an experience of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit that would come in me. And I've never had this where I know for certain, God, that you are here, that you live in me. I want you to seek Him because you're going to know when you get filled with the Spirit. You will know when you get filled with the Spirit. You will know with a certainty that God has come in. Amen. Can we stand in this place? Here's how you know. Jesus said it's not just going to be the changes in your life, the changes in your lifestyle. All that will come to pass. But He also said that there's something in an instant that will happen, that you will speak in an unknown tongue. You will speak in a language that you do not know. That will be the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, do we look just for tongues? No, we don't just look for tongues. We look for a change in us. Somebody can learn to speak in a language that they don't know. They can repeat something. But if you really got it, if you really got the Holy Ghost, then it's something that you know that you walked away differently. You know that you walked away with a changed spirit. You know that it's affected you from the inside out. You know with certainty that Jesus has come in and that you have truth in your life now. So when Pilate asked that question, what is truth? Jesus said, the truth is speaking to you right now. Can you hear it? Can you hear it, Pilate? The truth is speaking to you right now. Can you hear it? Well, Jesus is asking that same question right now in this place. I'm calling your name. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You're seeking something that will fulfill all of your needs. I have the answer. I am the answer. I am the answer. Jesus said, I am the answer. Can you hear me? I'm calling you. Come on, I'm not going to base my truth on my own ideas, my own emotions. I'm calling on your name. I'm calling on you, God. Come on, could you just lift up your hands? I want to invite you, if you could, I want to come up to the altar today. Well, God is seeking somebody who says, God, I need more certainty. God, I need to know with certainty, God, that what I have been told is true. Well, Jesus' disciples, they believed in Jesus before his resurrection. They believed that he was God, but there was something that after he resurrected, they knew without a shadow of a doubt. It changed their lives. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, you had a man, Peter, that just a few days ago had been denying Jesus Christ. He denied that he walked with Jesus. He denied that he was a disciple of his. But when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he went out into the streets and he started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something changed in him. Something changed. Come on, I want you right now to lift up your hands. We have those who are seeking something more that have come up to this altar area. If you want to come, if you could help them pray here today. Let's surround them and let's pray for somebody today. Come on, that we could find something that we know is true. God, I seek you right now. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we can experience something, Lord, that is beyond me. God, that is beyond this natural realm. God, is something instead that goes and has its anchor held at the beginning of time. Oh, let us hold on to real truth. Oh, let us experience the evidence of truth in us. In Jesus' name, God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, as we pray. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you seek him?
Your presence. Your presence.